Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak in the Lord. Well, I have a blessing to the public reading of his word this evening. We come to the epistle to the Ephesians, and as we come to this final chapter, we find that the apostle has been bringing before the those at Ephesus and his teaching. He's bringing before them in chapters 1 to 3 some of the blessings that they have come into because they know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. So in chapters 1 to 3, he has brought before them some of the blessings. We've got a thing to go through them this evening, but chapter 1 is filled with a number of spiritual blessings that are theirs and ours this evening because we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. For instance, it says in verse number 3 of chapter 1 that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And then he goes on to list a number of blessings which come to us because we are found in Christ. And as he brings before us our blessings through the first three chapters and the position in which we've been brought into, as those who were once afar off, as those who were separated from God because of our sin, but have now been brought near by his precious blood. And he reminds them in the first three chapters, he's reminded them of the position that they've been brought into and the blessings which are ours through faith in the Lord Jesus. Then from chapter 4 through to chapter 6, he brings before them not only now what their position is in Christ, but the practical aspect that should have upon them in daily living. And from chapter 4 through to chapter 6, he brings before them what the outworking of what these things should be and should mean to us. Because position, privilege always brings responsibility. And if we think of the privileges in the first three chapters, then we have the responsibility to work them out in our daily living and practical daily living from chapters 4 through to chapter 6. And then we come to verse number 10 here, and it says, finally. Now he's not going to draw a conclusion to what he's been saying, but he's just going to be changing the emphasis onto a different subject. And he's now saying, from now on, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As he's drawing attention to this new subject of the whole armour of God, the spiritual battle that we're involved in, and he's going to encourage us to put on the whole armour of God. And he's saying, finally, from now on, as a result of being found in Christ, as a result of trying to live a life that would be well pleasing to him, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and we need to put on the whole armour of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he's saying, finally, from now on, my brethren, that brings before us the idea of relationship. The apostle here is not disassociating himself from those in, who had believed in Ephesus. He's drawing alongside them. And as we thank all of them here, we remember that as he's writing, he is in chains, he's in prison, and he's seeking to encourage them to be strong in the Lord. Now, I don't know how you would have been or how I would have been if we'd have been chained to a Roman soldier. And he's coming to, and he's writing this letter, and he's saying to be strong, but he's encouraging them not to be strong in the circumstances, not so much to be strong in his own ability, but he's encouraging them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's bringing in before us the idea of the Lordship of Christ. He's encouraging them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's already brought before them, the thought of divine power. In chapter 1, in verse 19, he speaks of divine power. In chapter 1, in verse 19, he speaks of divine power toward us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us were to believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he's reminding them that the power that was available to raise Christ from the dead is a power that is available for you and I today. The same power that is available to raise Christ from the dead is available toward us. And then in chapter 3 and verse 16, it reminds them again not of a power, of divine power toward them, but in chapter 3 and verse 16, it reminds them of divine power in us. And verse 16, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's the same word, to be strengthened with power in the inner man. So he's divine power toward us, we have divine power in us, and here in verse 6 we have divine power for us. And that power is found in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I wonder how much do we know individually of the power of God in us and for us. And then he comes to his subject in verse number 11. He encourages them to put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The idea of putting on is to put on to oneself as you would put on a garment. But he's already told them in another, earlier on in the epistle, that there are things that they have to put off. There are things that were associated with their former life before they came to know the Lord Jesus, and they put these things off. And he reminds them that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then he tells them there in chapter 4 to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and through holiness. So there were things that they had to put off, things which would have characterized them in a former life before they were saved. And before they could put on the armour of God, they would have to cast these things aside. And the challenge to us today is that we have laid these things aside and were to put on the whole armour of God. That is the complete armour of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Part of the armour will not do, as we shall see as we go down. It needs to be the whole armour, the complete armour. But each individual piece has to put on in its own order. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armour of God, God's provision, is complete both for defence and for attack. That which God was going to give them, they were going to be able to go forward and attack, and they were going to be able to stand and defend if necessary. But it had to be the whole armour of God, the complete armour of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. to stand is to resist the enemy and hold a critical position in the battle. To stand is not to go back, but to hold that position where you're in, as the enemy would come upon you. And here we've died yet. The warfare is mainly defensive here. And the emphasis here is on standing. It's to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, having put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the idea of the verse of standing in the verses before us, we've got the idea of standing in verse 11, that is standing before the attack, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 13 we have the word stand again, and it's got the idea of standing against, and that is during the attack. And in verse 13 again, we have the idea of standing still after the attack. So as we find, as we come to having our feet shod, there has to be that stability and being able to stand as the attack would come upon us, and still to be able to stand during the attack and after the attack. But they're able to do so, and we are able to do so, because we're in the Lord and we're in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, that could just be the, it's just schemes, deceit, or the strategy of the enemy as he would oppose us, as we seek to maintain and live our lives for the Lord Jesus. It's the different ways that he would come to us, the different strategies that he would come to seek to test us, that he would seek to bring us down, that he would cause us to fall in our Christian testimony and witness. But there's various ways in which he would come to us. And the title that is given to him here is the devil, the slander. And he comes to us in different ways. And what way he might come and try to attack you and bring you down spiritually, it'd be a different way that he might come to me or the person next to you, whatever. He knows our weakest point. He knows the point that we will fail on. And he'll always go for that. He'll always go for a weak point. But he knows that's what we have perhaps succumbed to in the past. And if he thinks he's got away with it once, he'll come again and try again. And if he doesn't find success in that way, he'll move on to something else. And there are a whole load of variety of ways in which he can come to us and seek us to fall, or seek us to doubt our salvation, or seek to pull us down just from our Christian living and testimony, that so that he might have some kind of glory and preeminence. But we're encouraged to stand, and we're not to be ignorant. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of his devices, but as we remain strong in the Lord, and as we keep on the whole armour of God, then we will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We come to verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The idea of wrestling is hand-to-hand combat. It's personal and individual. We're engaged in a spiritual conflict. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or blood and flesh, which is humanity, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These things are unseen. These things that will come against us. It's hard to just say what these things might be. It has been suggested that this not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that could be rulers, against powers, that could be authorities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the rulers could be world rulers, and against spiritual wickedness, that could be wicked spirit beings. It's hard just to define what they might be, but there is that force of evil.
that is against the believer. There is that force that is against the one who has trusted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And we're in that conflict. We're in that battle, a daily battle. And the only way that we'll be able to overcome is to remain strong and to have on the whole armour of God, that we might be able to stand, and that we might be aware of the way in which the evil one would attack, and that we might be on our guard, that we might be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God." It repeats again that it has to be the whole armour of God. This is something which has to be taken. This is not something which has been made, but he has to take it and he has to apply it. The whole armour of God, that you may know to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Take is to take to oneself that armour that has been provided by God, the divinely provided equipment that we may be able to fight in the battle. Remember in 1 Samuel in chapter 17, when David was going to go and fight the Philistines, Saul wanted to empower him with his armour. Mm-hmm. He wanted him to put on that which he would have worn if he was to go into the battle. But David said, how could he put that on and go when he had not proved it? Mm-hmm. And David went in 1 Samuel 17. He went in the power of God. He went with that which he had proved. He had proved God in the earlier verses in the chapter. And he was going to go forth and fight Goliath in the power of God. He was going to go with that which he had proved, that source that he had used in the past, as he had overcome the lion and the bear, and he was able to go forward in the power of God. And as we take the whole armour here, that we might be able to go forth in that, to go forth and withstand, and having done all to stand, as we take the word of God and as we apply it to our life, and as we know the word to speak on occasion, as we read the word of God and we have the right word to say, that for the Lord Jesus himself, he would have used the written word of God to say, rebuke Satan. And Satan came to him and tempted him. Remember that three times over the Lord Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He knew the word of God, and he was able to take that word and he was able to use it that he could bring against Satan. The evil day, verse 13, it made us be able to withstand in the evil day. This was a specific day when the believer would know, had been singled out by the enemy. He would know at a certain day, he'd probably been there, he felt the attack of the evil one. And in that evil day, the enemy had sought to come and to try to trip you up, or to pull you down, or to barriers and obstacles in your way to hinder you. And the pressure has been on. And the evil day, we just speak of that specific moment when it would feel as if you've been singled out for his attention in that particular, for that particular day. But standing firm, standing without wavering or falling, is the goal. That you may, having done all, having taken the whole armour of God, having stood against the onslaught, and to remain standing. Verse 13. Come to verse 14, we come to the first part of putting on the armour of God. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You've got the first part of the armour, having your loins girt about with truth. And then the second half of verse 14, we have having on the breastplate of righteousness, which is the second part of the armour. Then into verse 15 of the third part, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. Verse 16, the fourth part of the armour, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These six things which we have to apply as the whole armour of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins is your waist. And having your waist girt. This is a good word for girt. Good authorised interpretation. Girt about with truth. That is really to bind round. To bind round the waist with truth. Now the idea is that the soldier in those days would have worn a long type of tunic, and it would have covered his body right down to his feet. And the idea is that if it had been left like that in battle, he wouldn't have been able to go forward or back really, because he'd have got his feet caught up in the tunic and it would have been of no use. So the idea is that the tunic would have to be pulled up and the belt would go around and hold everything in place. I don't know if that's quite what a belt is meant to do generally, but you know, and we'd bring it, we'd put it round, and we'd hold everything in place. And the believer is to be held down by the truth of the Word of God. There was that truth, the soldier would have faced his tunic, would have caused him a hindrance in going forward or going back, but he was to put on the belt of truth. That is, for you and I, is holding the truth of God's Word, but also for the truth of God's Word to hold us. That we not only know the truth of God, but the Word of God would be worked out and we would be held by it. We know the truth of it, but the truth would hold us. We apply it to our daily lives as we test everything by the truth we find, and we get strength and protection from the Word of God. So the loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, again, was a two-part garment. It had a back part and a front part. And it probably got joined. It got joined at the shoulders. And it was a sleeveless piece of leather material with animal horn or hoof pieces sewn on it. And the idea is that we protect his heart and other vital organs. The two parts covering the back and the front. So no matter where the attack would have come from in the battlefield, whether it be from behind or from the front, the breastplate would have protected the soldier from the onslaught. And if we think of the heart as regarded as the centre of our desires, and if we think of our heart, we have to have our heart covered with breastplate of righteousness. Our heart has to be covered, has to be protected from the onslaught. It is also the seat of our emotion, our conscience, and affects our affections and all we are. And as we think of the breastplate, we think of the protection of that which we need to be protected, and we have the Word of God to protect us. And we have the Spirit of God within us. And it's not only having on the breastplate, but it's the breastplate of righteousness. That is, the person who trusts in Christ, it becomes the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5. That is, he becomes in Christ all that God requires a man to be, all that he can never be in himself. So everything that God is, we become in Christ, and that which we can never be in ourselves. And if you think of the righteousness, this is right, remember again, this righteousness that comes from God is a characteristic of God himself, and the other obedience to and communion with him, and his righteousness produces in us practical daily righteousness that becomes our spiritual breastplate. We have been given that righteousness because the armour comes from God. This righteousness, it comes to us from God. So having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's which we protect our heart. And then verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So he's having already had on his waist girded about with the truth. His heart has been protected by the having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These would be special shoes that would perhaps have nails or in the bottom to, so you would have the soldier would be able to have a firm footing, and it would enable him to have good stability and mobility. And if you think of stability, you think of that holding that we need to stand firm in the evil day. And we think we need to stand firm with the truth of God. And here he is, his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is, with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And if we think of that, we think of the gospel of peace. We think of that which the believer has, a sure footing in the gospel of peace. For the believer, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the gospel. And as we think too of the preparation of the gospel, it's not only the having peace with God, but it's the readiness to go forward with the message of the gospel. And that's a challenge to each one of us. Do we have our feet prepared to go forth with the message of the gospel? While we enjoy the peace of God and salvation, are we ready to go forth and to witness and to be a testimony for Him? Ready to go forth and prepared to go forth with the message of the gospel. And this gospel of peace, the peace which comes to us because of our sins forgiven, but also we know the peace of God daily, which passes all understanding. And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. He's only saying, overall, over everything else, take the shield of faith. Now this shield of faith is a large oblong shield that would protect the entire body. So having applied these other things, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about with truth, having on the belt of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he says, now take the shield of faith, that which will be to cover the whole body, that which will protect, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So there was that shield that had been provided that would cover from head to toe, and there was that which we, having taken that shield, that would act as that which would quench the fiery darts that would come from the wicked one. Taking the shield of faith, that is taking God at his word, that is trusting God's word. And as evil one would seek to fire those darts, those fiery darts are likened to arrows that have got the combustibles at the end which are able to be shot at by an enemy. And as they would hurl these arrows towards the soldier, the shield would put out the flaming arrows that would come towards the soldier would be, the shield would deflect and put out, it would quench the fire. So the shield was there for protection from these fiery darts of the wicked. I think the idea in verse 16 is the idea of the wicked one, the fiery darts that they come from the wicked one. And the shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. No matter what the enemy would seek to fire at us or do to us, we have the shield of faith. And the shield of faith would then quench those fiery darts and put them out. And then he says to us not only to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, but he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, the helmet of salvation, as we take the helmet, that which would protect the head, and that which would always be a major target in battle. And further, it's the soldier on the battlefield, his head is protected. And so you and I today, we need to protect our minds. For there is that which the evil one again would seek to get into our heads and would seek to tell us things and make us doubt their salvation, or make us doubt the Word of God, make us doubt what it is we may be reading, make us doubt as to the fact that He's coming again, or maybe in a certain way that He wants to lead us and guide us, and the evil one would seek to tell us to, you seek into our heads and seek to tell us not to worry about that and do that. The more we try to live for Him, the more we will feel the onslaught of the evil one. If we're not doing anything for God, if we're not even trying to live our life to please Him, then the devil won't worry with us. But as soon as we try to live our life, if we are trying to live our life to please Him and to honour Him and to do what we can for Him, then you can be assured that we'll be under constant attack from the evil one. But he doesn't want to see us maintaining things for God. He would rather see the things dwindle and die out. Although he has been defeated, he would like to see others going to a lost eternity. But the more you and I seek to live for the Lord Jesus, the more we will come under the constant attack. That's why we're reminded that we have to put on the whole armour of God. So it's got to our head, it's got to our minds, have got to be protected. What we think about, what we watch, what we see, our minds have to be protected. And the Apostle says in Philippians chapter 4, he lists a number of things. And he says that if you think of these things, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you think on these things if we glorify the person of the Lord Jesus? Mm-hmm. The sword of the Spirit is not so much like the shield of faith, a long oblong shield, but it's a small weapon, and it was used defensively to defend off the attack. Defensively to fend off the attack, and offensively to help destroy the enemy's strategies. So to take the helmet of salvation, which would protect our mind, and to take the sword of the Spirit, and he defines the sword of the Spirit as the Word of God. That particular part of the Word of God that we come to, which would suit the occasion that we would find ourselves in, the situation that we would find ourselves in. And knowing, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we take the Word of God, and as we apply it, and as we know how to bring that word to our mind, we would have to first of all be able to have read the Word of God, so the Spirit of God can bring the Word of God to our remembrance, for a particular situation in which we find ourselves in. So it's a recalling to mind of the Word of God, which would best suit the position that we would find ourselves in. And it is, we just remind ourselves that it is necessary that we read the Word of God and we meditate upon it and we pray over what we read, that the Spirit of God may be able to take it and may be able to work it into our lives, that there would be that for the glory of the Lord Jesus. But while that would be the six parts which would, of the armour, I think there is, from verse 18, we could find another part of the armour, not something to put on, but for the soldier there would always have to be communication with the person, the leader of the army, captain of the army, and there's also in touch with headquarters, as they would say, and here we have to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We can put on each of these, each part of the armour of God. And I thought as we put each part on prayerfully, as we go through the list and we put the armour of God on, praying always, praying with all prayer and supplication. That is prayer and supplication. That is focusing on the variety of need. Always, we have the frequency, praying always, in the spirit focuses on our on submission to Christ. He tells us too in prayer to watch thereunto. That will tell us to the manner, to focus on the manner to watch thereunto with all perseverance, that is, with all persistence, for all saints, to focus on the object that is for all saints. And we think of praying, one of the difficult things in Christian life is taking time to pray. Mm-hmm. Taking time to spend in the presence of God and just to commune with Him. Mm-hmm. And to pray and to keep our mind alert. And to focus on praying and not to have our minds wandering out here, there and everywhere. And taking time to praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And in verse 19 Paul says, and for me. Not that he's wanting a release, but he says in verse 19 that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's nothing mysterious about it, but this was just the hidden truth of the gospel, is the idea that you might make known the hidden truth of the gospel with which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's looking for, while the apostle was remembering them in prayer, he was looking for them to remember him, not for a release or for the circumstances in which he found himself, but that he might be given boldness, that he might be given the right words to say, as he may make known the mystery, the truth of the gospel with which he was an ambassador in bonds. I wonder if that would be out there. If we'd been in those situations, ask the believers to pray that we may be given the ability, the right words to say, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Or perhaps we'd be looking for to get a release from the circumstances that we were in. But Paul was looking for the ability to further the message of the gospel. He says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador." An ambassador. He was an ambassador for Christ. He was an ambassador to tell of all that he's done, but he's in bonds. But his main concern would be that he might speak boldly, that he might speak freely as he ought to speak, and to make known the message of the gospel. So we have, in our verses, we've seen, we've brought before us the whole armour of God. And we have that for our protection. We have that which is able to, if we put on prayerfully, we have that which is able to help us as we come against the onslaught of the evil one. First, this evening, God, may bless his word to our hearts.